Lord, may we listen carefully to these your words to enable a greater understanding. John 10, verses 1 to 18, the parable of the shepherd. Jesus said, I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So Jesus said again, I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away, so that the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me. And I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up for my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do. Praise him for these words.
Can I have someone pray for me, please?
Just going to pray for Ron before he preaches us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for Ron, and I thank you for his faithfulness to you, and I thank you for his obedience to you, and I thank you for his love for you as well, and I thank you for his love for all of us, as a good shepherd should be. I thank you that he shares his gifts with all of us. And I thank you also, Lord, that he hears your voice, that he spends time with you. Lord, that he communes with you. And Lord, right now, he's going to share what you have been sharing with him. Lord, I thank you for the time that you put into his life. Lord, I thank you for the powerful word that you instill in his heart to share with us. Lord, I thank you for the powerful voice that he also gives as well, Lord, that shares your grace and your love to all of us. Lord God, you are a loving God. And you pour your love out onto Ron, which he is going to pour out onto us right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mose.
As I was reading through this passage, I was wondering, what more could I share with you when most of people in church know this passage? They probably know this passage inside out. They know everything about the Good Shepherd. And so I thought, Lord, what am I going to share with the people? And then I began to realize that sometimes we will speak out of our own experiences, which give it a different shade. And so therefore it comes out in a slightly different way. So I'm going to trust that this slightly different way is a way that you can connect to. Our theme this morning, Jesus the Good Shepherd. The land in which Jesus lived was mainly called the land of shepherds. And going back through history to the people who lived there, we can't help but think of David, the shepherd boy who became a great king. And we hear David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the hill." That's as far as I know. Today, as we study John 10, we come face to face with that very good shepherd that David was talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout John's gospel, Jesus likens himself to the shepherd who loves his sheep, to the shepherd who gives his life for his sheep, to the shepherd who saves his sheep, and to the shepherd who keeps his sheep forever. Yes, Jesus is the great good shepherd, and we who trust in him are his sheep. And as we go through this chapter, we see several things. And the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is this. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, what did he mean that he was the good shepherd? What makes Jesus different from all other shepherds? Well, I want to say it's his goodness. And it's mentioned in verses 11 and 14. He didn't say, "I am a shepherd." Neither did he say, "I am a good shepherd." He said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, I know all of us like to claim that we are good. But are we really good? Hands up those who've been good this last week. Be honest. Oh, we've got a young man over there who's been good. Amen to you, my brother. He's been good. Hands up those who have been good at least once. Oh, okay. Cool. And what about those who have been good? They didn't eat that chocolate. One. We have an honest man, the only honest man in the house. And hands up those who failed terribly and ate the whole chocolate bar. Folks, it happens. It happens. These kinds of things happen. Now, I don't want you to look at me and think, "That guy's eaten a lot of chocolate bars." He obviously knows what he's talking about. Are we really good? There's a story about a butcher who sold all his poultry except for one chicken. And a lady came in wanting a chicken. And the butcher weighed his last chicken and he said to her, "That'll be $6.55. And she asked, "Do you have a larger one?" And the butcher thought fast. He took the chicken to the ice barrel, stirred it for a bit, and came back with the same chicken. And weighing it, he said, "That'll be $7.95. "Great," said the lady, "I'll take both." You can just imagine his reaction. How many colours of red can one go? He wasn't being good or nice to her. We all understand what the word good means. From our reading, Jesus is telling the people about a good shepherd. Now, as far as Jesus understands the word good, incorporated in that word good are these things like honesty, goodness, caring, compassionate, and willing to die to take care of his sheep. That's Jesus' understanding of good. Sir George Adam Smith, who travelled in Palestine, writes, "On some high moor, across which at night the hyenas howl, when you meet him, sleepless, far-sighted, weather-beaten, leaning on his staff and looking out over his scattered sheep, every one of them on his heart, you understand why the shepherd of Judea sprang to the front in his people's history, why they gave his name to their king and made him the symbol of providence, why Christ took him as the type of self-sacrifice, constant vigilance and fearless courage, patient love and care for his flock, with the necessary characteristics of the shepherd." But do you know what, folks? Jesus is actually telling us about himself. Matthew 19 says that only God is good. So how can Jesus call himself good? Because he is good. He is God. And only God is able to demonstrate true goodness. Psalms say, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. You, O Lord, are good and forgiving. The Lord is good to all. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." So that's the first thing I want to share with you. I don't have many more, just another 18. The second one is this. The good shepherd, here's the key, the good shepherd saves his sheep. Verse 9 says, "Yes, I am the door. Those who come in through me will be saved." Question, how can a person enter into the fold of God? You can't enter by birthright. And you can't enter by church membership. If you don't have Christ in your heart, your church membership is a useless thing. You can't enter through good works or tireless service or even large gifts. Thousands and thousands of people try to gain favor with God. You can't buy your way into heaven. Heaven, I'm sorry, folks, is not for sale. There's just one entrance. Jesus said, "I am the door, and you must enter in by him. You must come to the foot of the cross in repentance and faith." In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Can you say, "Christ is my Savior"? You know, the word "my" expresses a beautiful relationship. My sister sets her apart from all other women, from all other girls. My mother sets her apart from all other women. And boy, is she different to all other women. My child has so much sweetness wrapped up in that phrase. But to be able to say, my Savior, is the best expression of all. And so I ask you, is He your Savior? Do you want the Good Shepherd as your Lord and Savior? Three. Are you still with me? It's really silent in here. Three. His knowledge. Verse 14 says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep. You know, we are all so foolish. We've become very good at playing the church and religion game. Let me explain. We say we love Jesus, and yet we dislike those that Jesus loves. We say we follow Jesus, but we go places that Jesus would never go. We can't fool God. He knows us. Jesus says, I know my sheep. Isn't that fantastic news? Let me explain. It's in Psalm 139. These are beautiful words. Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me whether I'm working or resting. You know all of my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. And here's the part that really gets to me. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. The Lord knows me more than I know myself. When I go and visit my parents, Mum always says to me on the phone, Ron, drive carefully. I says, Mum, I do. She says, Ron, I know you. And I respond to her, Mum, I know you too. I know you. And our parents, they know us. Some more than they should. Jesus has millions of sheep, folks. But he knows everything about each of them. He knows your trials and your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your sorrows and your needs from day to day. We are the sheep of his fold. He knows us by name, and he loves us as the apple of his eye. Do I hear an amen? That's a bit sluggish. Jesus is with us whenever, wherever, and forever. We are his. And I want to say to you this morning, allow God a chance to change and mold you to his likeness. The other part of verse 14 says that not only does he know us, but he says that we also know him. So what do we know about Jesus? You can ask me almost anything about my wife, and I can give a pretty accurate answer. Ask me what her favorite color is. Go on, ask me. I thought you'd never ask. Purple. Yes? Oh. Her eyes change colors. I've made it my life to know her. Lofi has made some wonderful changes in my life since I met her. Did you know that I now eat with a knife and fork? Eh? Did you know that I now bring in the washing? It's unheard of. Did you know, as hard as this is to admit, I now share the credit card with her? Okay, so I cry every now and again after seeing the bank statement, but that's part of the changes that I've had to accept. But seriously, because we know each other really well, we have a wonderful relationship. So what do we know about Jesus? Well, let's start with his name. How do you spell his name? J-E? Very good. Jesus is transliteration of the Hebrew Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Hence, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. He came and healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He drove out demons. He gave hope to the lost and to the poor. He is God's only begotten Son. He loved us enough to leave heaven's glory and come down to earth to die for us. He's the one who still loves us and wants to save us. He suffered and died that you might live forever. Today, you can ask Jesus to come into your life and save you. Here's a question. What do I need to do to be like Jesus? Over the last few months, you've been hearing John talk about discipleship. So what do you need to do to become a true disciple? Well, remember we began talking about good. We'll never be good, but you can, with God's help, do good. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." 2, we'll never attain the wisdom of Jesus, but if we embrace Jesus, we will receive all the knowledge and wisdom necessary. Colossians 2 verse 3, speaking of Jesus, says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." 3, we are not kings. Do we have any kings in the house? But we do have queens. Don't we? Come on, guys. Tell me that honest truth. You think of your spouse as your queen. I know Morsi does. Anyone else? Malcolm, your queen? No? Yeah. Almost like an afterthought. We are not kings. We are not emperors to have authority or power over people. But do you know that we have been empowered by Christ with power and authority to take back the souls of those heading to hell? Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I have two conclusions, and here's the first one. There's a story about a village church organist in Germany. And while practicing a piece written by Mendelssohn, a stranger walked in and listened to him. And when he'd finished playing, the stranger asked whether he could play on the organ. Now, organists do not allow other people to play on their church organ. It is an absolute no-no. It's like a stranger coming up to you and asking, can I drive your car? Would you let a stranger drive your car? Absolutely not, unless they were pretty. Huh? I know these guys here. Of course. Of course you can. The organist refused, saying that he could not entrust the organ to a stranger. But after some persuasion, the stranger was finally allowed to play. He played the same music on the organ, but this time it was as if the church was filled with a heavenly choir. Amazed, the organist asked who he was, and he replied, Ronald Mendelssohn. There's that name again. It just keeps cropping up. My goodness gracious me. And he replied, Mendelssohn. We can never do anything better than the one who made us. And he will not do it unless we allow him. Christ is calling us to serve as his shepherds. He has commissioned us to feed his sheep, and they need to be fed with the milk and meat of God's word. So why don't we follow the example of the good shepherd? And my final conclusion is this. A farmer explained that one of their sheep had a lamb, but the mother died. They tried to give the lamb to another mother sheep, but she rejected it. So they skinned the dead sheep and put the skin on the lamb. The mother sheep then accepted the lamb as her own and cared for it. In a like manner, Jesus, as the good shepherd, died for us as the Lamb of God, and God accepts us because we are clothed with the Lamb's robe of righteousness. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us so that we might have life. Life with the Father and life for eternity. The good shepherd who Jesus is was willing to die for the sheep so that the sheep could live. Do you know the good shepherd? He's waiting to hear from you today. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's such a simple question. Do we know you? And I suppose the way we act, you're probably asking, and who are we? But Lord, today we want to know who you are. We want to get to know you better. We want to have you in our lives. So please forgive us. And we cry to you because you are our Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.